Waiting, somebody would say that. And therefore, that is all that is evil. I don't know is the evil. That's what these great philosophers and so on called avidya, ignorance. I don't know what I am. I don't know what the me is. I don't know what I am seeing. I don't know what this that I am aware of is in me made of. So that I don't know is evil. One step more you are enlightened. Immediately.
Push me.
One step more and you are enlightened. Just one step. Maybe you have to take that step backward, standing on a cliff. Maybe you have to take that step, one step backward, standing on a cliff.
Look at the camera.
How do I know? I don't know.
I don't know.
How do I know? I don't know.
To perceive evil.
No, that was dropped long ago.
Knowing isn't there. So I assume that I don't know. My definition of the word knowing isn't there. Because I think there's an I.
It's all brain work. When you ask yourself, what is this? What is this subject that is reflecting that evil? Or one way or the other? I don't know. One step backward. From there. You know why? That's why I suggested that you must be standing at the cliff and take one step backward. Then the mind doesn't function. Then you do not create other steps to go dancing, waltzing. In one leap you are finished. How do I know? I don't know. You are right. There is a distinct feeling, I don't know.
What don't you know?
I don't know what this evil is, I don't know where it is, and I don't know how it came into being, I don't know what it is made of, and I don't know which is true, whether the reflection is here or there.
You said that all comes from the brain.
Yeah, all this came from brain. But how do I know that I do not know the reality concerning all this?
Just as I am, and you all are.
You don't know.
Could it be that
you don't know?
I don't know. How do I know that I do not know?
You don't know that you don't know.
You do. But you don't know that you don't know. That you can go on
repeating, don't
drop. If you didn't know, you wouldn't ask questions. Right?
Right. Therefore, I'm asking questions.
You're not getting any answers.
I'm suffering. That leads me to believe that I don't.
No. We are not asking questions concerning that area at all. Mm-hmm. How do I know? I do not know. It's quite a simple thing. And you must take one step back into the canyon. Otherwise you won't get it. That's all.
And how do you know you know?
She said so. The question doesn't arise anymore.
It's just a feeling that...
No, it's not a feeling.
It is.
It just is.
Huh?
It just is.
Words. Beyond that is words. Useless.
I was going to say, it seems to me that the only way you can pick out a quality in something else is when it's in you. Because if you didn't have that quality, you wouldn't spot it in anything else.
To an extent, right, yes.
You must be capable of... the only way you can be capable of experiencing it is when you've already had contact with it.
I think we're on this plane now.
Who? I thought it was the ashram.
Living on Earth right now, that we make things possible because Father made all things possible. And whichever way we choose to make these things possible, it's not our choice.
Yeah, that's important to understand. It's not an intellectual knowledge, mental understanding all, verbal understanding. That is easy to produce. That's why I also felt that, you know, very often even the introduction to these two books, Abhidharma, they have said that it is analytical. Buddha's teachings are not analytical. They are direct seeing. That face has two eyes and one nose and a mouth and two ears. It's not analysis, it's direct vision. So, if Buddha's teachings are made to sound like analysis or analytical, it's our fault, not his. He saw and he described or he said or he gave expression to what he saw. It is darshana in his case also. It's unfortunately misinterpreted as analytical.
Question of good and evil, it would disappear when uncoloredness in your mind comes into being, wouldn't it?
Mm-hmm.
It would automatically just vanish.
Yes, yeah, right. It's the mind again that divides all this, or the ego sense, divides all this into right and wrong, good and evil, and pleasant and unpleasant, pleasure
yeah.
and pain.
Then all our emotions are positive. It's only our mixed up thinking concerning them, which is negative. It's negative thinking
yeah.
or ignorance.
Yeah,
again.
Right.
But
all our emotions are positive. When you say that, I might even query that, because ultimately, emotion is mere motion of energy.
Mm-hmm.
And perhaps there is not even a multiplicity of emotions. Mm-hmm. There's probably not even a multiplicity of emotions. Air which enters the nose is called smell. The same air which enters the ear is called sound.
When you become enlightened, it's possible to be sort of recreated again.
Not enlightened, all right.
No, when one or whoever, whatever, becomes enlightened. Like, all these rittis, it's just movement of energy, right? It creates into forms and then it sort of gets sucked back in. And the same thing could happen to an enlightened one. He might just start being
yeah.
created into another illusion again.
Why not?
Yeah. And so you start all over again, I guess.
Hey, he doesn't start anywhere. He is.
Yeah, But he may lose that enlightenment or that realization.
That theoretically, it's not possible. Enlightenment being the coming into being of light and the ending of darkness. Darkness does not overcome light. That's the idea. Whereas you can put out darkness with light, you cannot put out light with darkness.
And then how, if everything is light originally, how did darkness come into being? How did being? What's clouded?
Right, correct. And therefore, there is no cloud at all.
I see.
And that's enlightenment. The moment you ask that question terribly seriously, when only light exists, how can this darkness arise? It's not possible. That's it, enlightenment.
But there is a theory that we were once part of everything, the universe.
That's it. Therefore, there is a theory. And the theory is darkness.
Then we shouldn't really be here.
Why not?
See? Maybe we are.
That is the point. And therefore, it should not be like this. That is darkness.
So Ramana Maharishi says that the world is actually... the world does not exist outside of the mind. That the mind...
It is the mind spread out as the world. No, one has to look at it from the other point of view. Other end. The world does not exist apart from the mind, has been made to imply that all those trees are sticking in the brain somewhere. That may not be the interpretation. That may not be the truth. The truth may be all that is the mind.
But he says the mind, the world ceases to exist for a person that withdraws the mind. Right? It doesn't cease to exist for all the other little
that is,
separate entities.
No. Probably he referred to the sleep. He was very fond of the sleep business also.
Mm-hmm.
In sleep, the mind is withdrawn and therefore there is no world.
Mm-hmm.
That's quite simple. But that's another aspect of it, another angle, another viewpoint. The world does not exist apart from the mind means that the whole thing is the mind.
How did it come to this density? Like we are here.
I'm sorry.
Did we make it possible?
Did you make it possible? Yes, naturally.
I'm sort of lost.
By accepting the materiality of what is called the matter.
Who accepts?
I accept.
Who's this I?
I accept. You start inquiring there, you will find that it doesn't exist. But when the question was asked, the I apparently existed. When the question was asked, how did the world become so dense? The question, the I apparently existed because the I is the seer of the density, denseness of the world. The I is the seer of the density of the world.
So the I has been created once.
Possibly. Then you must inquire and see if who the creator of the I is. And how do you know who the creator of the I is? By trying to understand what the identity of the I is and ask that I for the passport. So eventually we come back to the same thing. I see this and therefore that is not of great consequence to me. What is it that sees that? Where is this world reflected? How do I become aware of this experience or this expression? When I find the answer to the question, it's possible I find that I have created this whole universe. it's also possible to find, discover another answer, that the I does not exist at all. It's possible to find a third answer, that the I and the world are both on the same, in the same boat. Somebody else created the world. All of them in effect mean the same thing. Either I does not exist and the world does not exist. Or I exists creating the world and perpetuating this world. Or neither the I nor the world exists except one, which neither the I nor the world knows. These are all speculations. One has to get there, not merely talk about it. Yeah?
Interestingly, I just read that Carl Jung had a dream one time that he saw a yogi seated in meditation. As he approached, he saw that the yogi had his face, and he thought, he knew, that yogi is meditating me, and when he stops, I will cease to exist.
Hmm.
And he awoke. He was really astounded by the dream because it wasn't his rational thought, and yet he had that dream.
That's the whole Yoga Vasistha in a nutshell, three sentences.
So that comes back to the question I had the other day, that I thought, or I felt I was being thought all the time, being a thought.
It's quite possible. But that is a thought in you at present, isn't it?
I still haven't come to grips with it.
It's a thought in me. It's not possible for me to conjure up a thought that I am being thought. That was a vision in his case, or a dream, or whatever it is.
But isn't it not just me, it's all of us?
Yeah.
Because just the energy of what the other knows, whatever vibes it throws off, makes it possible.
Yes, that is one of the most beautiful theories of Yoga Vasistha also. That one creates the other, and the other creates the other, and the other creates the other, and the other creates the other, and goes on.
So we're all reflecting back and forth to each other.
Yes,
somehow.
Right.
So like one particle was swollen out of this everything.
Everything developed, yes, right. That's what your Adam and Eve series is. Poor thing. All that is speculation, again. Please. All that is merely thought. And therefore this doesn't work. Hmm?
In practicing such inquiry, I always find myself giving intellectual answers.
Right. And that's what you have been doing now. Inquiry is... merely looking into it. Not answering. In German, there's a beautiful thing, Antwort. It merely means you say one word and I give another word, Antwort, anti-word. You say something, and Antwort is another word to balance it, which leads us nowhere.
No.
Question and answer lead you nowhere. But if it lands you in inquiry, vichara. Inquiry, I don't know what the real meaning of that word is. In Sanskrit it is vichara. Vichara is charu, to move, and vi, in the sense of very well. That's a good one. Vi is usually used in Sanskrit as a prefix which denotes excellently. Shuddha, Vishuddha. Perfectly. Very. Excellently. So, charu, to move. Vichara. Vichara is movement which is excellent. Unblemished. Pure, absolutely pure. Absolutely pure movement. Absolutely pure movement of intelligence or consciousness which does not need the aid of any words and thoughts, concepts. So if we are able, as we were discussing this, to move instead of merely think, then you will find the answer. Find the answer, not verbalize the answer, not think the answer.
How is the inquiry properly done? Because I have done it occasionally, looked into something, inquired and looked, and then that thing disappears, dissolves.
Yeah.
So how does one continue? How does one prevent it from dissolving or disappearing?
Why did it disappear?
Because I was
in. I don't know. No. How do I know that I don't know? Why did it disappear? Was it an... What was it? Take for instance. What are you inquiring into?
Just anything that would come up.
Because there is nothing called anything in this universe, it disappears.
into the nature of thought. Why I was thinking about
into a nature of thought. So now, I am inquiring into the nature of thought. What is thought? Then what does one do? A thought is there. How can thought disappear at all? How does thought disappear? I am aware that the thought has disappeared. That's a thought too.
Yes, so what do I do?
I look into it. You said it disappears. It does not disappear at all. The thought is still there.
So you eliminate something one by one as the thoughts come.
Yes. I don't know. She doesn't say eliminate. She says, I want to look into it. I want to look into the nature of thought. So, there is a thought. I am looking into it. It can never disappear. How can it disappear?
Can
the thought disappear? Can thought, one thought can replace another thought? I am looking into this thought too. Can never disappear.
But isn't there a level, you said it yourself at one point, I think...
You can sleep,
Where thought ceases.
That's it, when you go to sleep. Or when you get enlightened, yes.
Or when you get enlightened, yeah.
Then perhaps thought doesn't cease, something else happens, huh?
Does thought create the mind?
Hen or the egg story?
No, what came first?
Mm-hmm.
Is there a possibility, or would it be desirable to avoid experience?
Inquiry does not indulge in such questions at all. Is it possible to avoid something? Inquiry gets hold of this and goes into it. Because if the inquiry starts with a question, is it possible for this handkerchief to disappear, the inquiry has jumped the guns and forestalled the inquiry and imagined, visualized that it is possible to dispose of this vision, and therefore the whole inquiry is gone. That is when the thing disappears. That's the difference between inquiry and all the great wonderful affirmations and so on that people use in their meditations.
Would you not disappear before your thought?
Yeah, I don't know about that. Instead of inquiring into the nature of thought, instead of inquiring into the nature of fear or all these, I sit and I affirm to myself, I am the Supreme Consciousness, I am not any of these. Then it disappears. It disappears because instead of inquiring, facing it, I'm jumping over it, turning my back upon it. Turning my back upon it, which you would not normally do if you are in your senses. If you find that someone threatens you from in front of you, you wouldn't jump in front of him and turn your back to him. He'll hit you. You're finished. Not realizing this, what we do in our meditation, in our so-called inquiry, we jump ahead a bit, turn our back to it, because we have thought, we have decided already that I am not this fear, I am fearless, I am absolutely immortal self. Then I complained that it has disappeared. I was inquiring into it, it has disappeared. I was not inquiring at all. I had already made up my mind that it does not exist. And so I jump in front of it. It has disappeared, and it hits you when you least expect it to.
Then that's not a good method.
Well, it's a good method if you want to go to sleep or not. What's wrong? I mean, it's a good method. It depends upon what you are looking for, what you are trying to do.
Well, to become enlightened.
No, no. To become enlightened, I have to... I shouldn't take one little bit for granted.
So an affirmation is taking a lot for granted.
Yes, thank you. If it helps, it can help in a sort of self-hypnotic way, yes? Mm-hmm. It can ease your pain, it can ease your conscience, it can ease a lot of things.
But doesn't it avoid the real issue?
Yeah, right. Could. May or may not. I mean,
but doesn't it disappear eventually anyway?
That's that. Because it disappeared eventually to somebody, it's like saying, when I am asleep, she comes along with a coffin, push him in and bury him. Doesn't he get there in eventually anyway? We're not now.
It's that Thomas?
Thomas is something very good. This is something, this is self-deception. It's a nice word for it. Don't you use it? You see, Thomas is Thomas, which is nice. I go to sleep, I rest.
What is that? That's
self-deception.
Yeah, but what is that?